Good morning. What was that? Oh, that was Dingy Chris. Hi, Chris. Walk through the door, we get the bell. Okay, I guess it must mean it's time for Talk Shop, huh? What do you think? It's Thursday, the 24th of June. Joining us this morning is not our Bayou buddy. It is Victor Aguilar from the California Highway Patrol. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, Paul is, he's on vacation.
Really?
Yeah, that lucky guy.
Oh. Vacation. Is he going anywhere exciting or just kind of hanging out?
Well, I know where he's not going, to the office.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Knowing
I
him.
I even had a question teed up for him. It was about spicy foods.
I was going to say, knowing him, he's going to be making some gumbo, singing some karaoke. Yeah.
No, attempting to sing.
Yeah. He's pretty good at it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's
he even gets the words in order?
Well, I'm talking more about his voice. He's got a good voice.
I see.
Yeah, he can pull that off. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the next one for you here. Here we go. Why is the squared enclosure used by boxers called a ring?
Oh, my gosh.
Or in wrestling, the squared circle.
Hmm. Yeah, no idea. No idea. No idea. And I don't have any, like, contextual basis to even answer that. I, you know, I've never wrestled or boxed for any length of time, so I don't know.
Well, you've been in fights.
Yeah, I've been in fights on the losing end.
All right. In the early days of professional fist fighting, groups of fighters would travel from town to town challenging the local men. The fighters would arrange a few of the spectators in a circle and have them hold a ring of rope. Any man wishing to challenge one of the boxers would toss his hat into the ring. The bout would then take place in this early boxing ring. As the number of spectators increased, the handheld ring was no longer able to suffice, and it became necessary to fashion an enclosure by attaching ropes to stakes driven in the ground. Four stakes were normally used, which produced a square enclosure, but it continued to be called a boxing ring.
Boxing ring.
There you go.
Amazing. Amazing.
So, you know, you can whip that on him when he comes back.
Yeah, I'll ask Paul, but he probably already knows about that. He knows about, like, those kind of barbaric type things. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a base level kind of guy.
He's thrown his hat in many a ring,
yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. So, you got the new fiscal year coming up. Does that give you any more money for some of the stuff that you get to do?
You know, I don't know. They, as far as budgetary things, people like me, or at my level on the totem pole, I usually find out after the fact. Yeah, so I don't. In other words, they're not calling me up and saying, "Hey, Victor, what is it that you need?" Because you know your needs are important to us. There are people that get paid a lot more money than me and are a lot.
Well, I would
closer.
Say I might have come down through the office and then been shared just a tad. Yeah, for like recruiting and for some of the background stuff or. Maybe there's a tool that you would, it would be able to make things a lot easier for you.
Yeah. Well, so I know like
on your wish list.
Recruiting. So actually our current commissioner, Amanda Ray, she was actually a byproduct of our recruitment efforts, you know, back in the day when she came on because she was playing college basketball and a CHP recruiter would go to her games and, you know, talk to the whoever was there, essentially. And she was one of those people. And from what I hear, she essentially said, no, thank you, a few times. And then as she learned about the CHP, you know, then she said, well, you know, I'm going to graduate college here soon. I might start thinking seriously about a career. And this looks like a good trajectory that fits into what I believe in. And then obviously we know the rest of that story. She became our first female commissioner. So
at a weak moment, she said yes.
she said yes. Yep, exactly. And, you know, that's what we're hoping for a lot of other qualified people to do is just say yes. Because the thing I think with law enforcement is a lot of people discount themselves, and me being one of them back in the day, saying that they're not capable of doing this job. Or for me, I thought I wasn't mean enough to be a cop. Which apparently that's not what they're looking for. I thought it was. And so, you know, by virtue of that, I guess you take away some of those stereotypes or those pre-assumptions about what you think the job entails, what you have is essentially somebody who's serving their community. In our, I guess, career field, we just happen to do it you know, wearing a uniform, and we go through a series of trainings in order to be qualified to do the job. And so, you know, it's not unlike being like a teacher or an artist or somebody else that feeds into the well-being of a community. We just play a separate role. And so, yeah, recruitment is essentially kind of where it starts for a lot of people, because it's getting that information out there that you probably can do this job.
Are a lot of the folks who are potential recruits, do they tend also to be looking at military and other quasi-military? I mean, you said artists. And I can't imagine that there are too many people who are art majors mm-hmm. that end up in the CHP.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, so there's going to be a certain level of interest. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think, you know, what other common areas are there?
Right.
Other than somebody going through and getting criminal science or criminal justice, you know, if that's a four-year program, and then they jump into law enforcement at that point.
Yeah. So we do see that. You know, there's because we're so diverse in California, we get like a cross-section of all sorts of people. And so, yeah, there historically has been and still is that cross-section of people who are drawn to like a military type thing, things that a group of people that like to work in a team environment.
Well, and structured.
Yeah, a structured environment. But I will also say, as a matter of fact, I was talking to my applicants about this just the other night. You know, because being an artist does not mean that you have an art degree. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so we have, like I was telling them about self-care. You know, when you get on this job, have hobbies, don't find your identification in this job. And the examples that I used were officers that I've encountered in my career. For example, one officer that I knew was a cheesemaker, right? And if you've had...
You mean they have hobbies outside of work?
Believe it or not. And if you tasted this guy's cheese, you would call him an artist. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, culinary artist. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. People that make wine, people that do art. There's one here locally, he does pottery.
Now, I notice you're not saying gumbo. We'll pursue that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Victor Aguilar from the California Highway Patrol. Is there a profile, Victor, of the ideal police officer or CHP officer that you try to match people to or test against to see, okay, is this somebody who really is suited? Not the goofy ink blot tests and not the personality profile tests and all that kind of stuff, but just kind of a yes or no, just an intuitive yes or no that you have that then you either support or you find out that you were wrong.
Right. As a matter of fact, yeah, there is, and it's not like a black and white thing. You know, it's not like we have a piece of paper that we just check a bunch of boxes, and if you get 50 boxes checked, you're in. But it is, you know, it is a little subjective. And so what we do, there's two clear ways of doing that we currently are using. The first is kind of like on my end when I do a background investigation. So we're looking for people that are geared or wired to work from the inside out instead of from the outside in. In other words, somebody that is just out to make as much money as they can and is willing to do shrewd things to get that probably would not fit the you know, the mold, if there is one, for law enforcement.
Yeah, cutting corners probably is a career-defining move.
Right, yeah.
Or career-ending move.
Yeah, and along those terms, if we find somebody that tends to gray the bounds of, truth versus dishonesty, that's a clear indicator, that we don't want this person on board. And then once they're done with the background phase, then they go into the psychological evaluation. So for that, there's actually two phases for that one with our agency. And one of them is, you kind of mentioned the personality assessment. And so we do have them take this, what is it? It's a standardized test. It's like the MMPI and the CPI-1 or whatever. These are things that psychologists use to essentially figure out what makes you tick. Do you like working with your hands? Are you intuitive? Do you like being outgoing?
Do most people not know that? I mean, if you asked me, are you blank? That's something I've never, ever thought about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have, yeah, I think I am, or no, not really.
Yeah.
Do these tests counter people's self-definition of themselves at times?
I don't know. It's been years. When I took it, it was in 1998. So it's been a while for me since I've taken my test. But I know that there are, they'll ask you about your emotional feelings or connections with your mother. But they'll ask you in 20 different ways. And each time they ask you, the question is a little bit different, just to see if there's some consistency in your answer. And it's usually...
Don't you get frustrated with it?
It's
like, wait a minute, I've answered this one three times. What are you doing to me?
Yeah, then you start to think, wait, am
my
losing
memory
it?
Going, yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of part of the test, is I guess maybe to recognize, wait, I've been asked this before, but it's a little bit different. So is my answer still the same, or because they've changed it a little bit, is my answer now going to be different? So they do that, and then when they meet face-to-face with the psychologist asks questions based on the background investigation, their psychological profile, and then, whatever happens to come up, dealing with their history or family interactions or human interactions or whatever.
Now, when you're going for a bump in rank, do you go through the same process again? Because obviously life experiences have changed.
Uh-huh.
And the reference points now, it's not being a cop, it's being a director of cops.
Right, right.
Okay, that's a different skill set. That's a different point of view. That's different. Your customer base, if you will, mm-hmm. is totally different.
Right.
Do you go through that same series at each bump?
Well, I'll tell you, I can answer that question from firsthand experience because I just did that thing.
Ooh.
And so
you're not going to be leaving us, are you?
I'm on the promotional list, yeah.
Can't you promote and stay?
Well, that's the hope.
That's
the hope, providing there's a position for me. And so for promotional purposes, at least as it relates to from going from officer to sergeant, which is what I'm attempting to do, it starts with an initial application. And if you don't properly submit your application, you don't go on to the next step.
Sign everything where you're supposed to sign, check all the boxes you're supposed to check.
Yeah. Spell your name correctly, list a correct phone number so when they call you, they can actually contact you.
They still talk about, now most is electronic, but tax returns.
Oh,
people not signing it.
Yeah.
People inverting, Social Security numbers. I mean, some of the really... Yep. Basic but really fundamental things
fundamental.
That have to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going full bore into a train wreck.
Right.
I would suspect
exactly.
that some of that kind of stuff, that'd be
so
embarrassing more than anything else.
Oh, but, yeah. And in the context of trying to promote within our agency.
I'm a detailed person.
Yeah. I saw we'll call him Friend X. I won't say his name on the air, but...
He's working today or not working
he
today?
He is working. He is
okay,
working.
Okay, so he's not on
He's
vacation.
A good guy,
okay.
But he was putting in for various sergeant positions throughout the state because he wanted to promote, and so he sent me a copy of his memo that you submit when you're interested in these positions, and I was reading through it, and what he would do is cut and paste based on the position. Well, within the first few lines, he misspelled the word sergeant, and he was wondering, why are they not hiring me for these positions? And finally, we had to tell him, hey, you misspelled the word sergeant. That could be why. He fixed that, and guess what? Now he's a sergeant.
Yeah. Now he's a commander. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Victor Aguilar. This morning, a little bit about what is it, and I suppose it really is, what does it take to be a cop? You know, whether it's a state cop, a county cop, a local cop, a mall cop. I mean, I think that the profiles are all similar. Certainly, the training is significantly different. The responsibilities are significantly different. But I would think that the profile would be something that would be very similar.
Yeah, right.
Fair statement or way off base?
No, pretty. I would say pretty fair. What I tell my applicants, and you know, when I go to Humboldt State and people ask kind of similar questions, I never talk about like the ability to drive a vehicle fast or the ability to negotiate with people or to fire a weapon competently. I don't mention any of that stuff because that is very, very secondary to some very important, essentially raw ingredients that we're looking for. And I talk about three things usually: the ability to follow direction, the desire to help people, and what's the third one? What's talking about?
Good memory skills.
Yeah, an excellent memory, especially when it comes to a list of three things. But those are the basic things, right? The ability to follow directions, desire to help people. And, God, what is the third one I always talk about? Man, this pandemic really, God, it's been so long since I've been to talk to them in person. But my point being is that we don't talk about, like, training. We don't talk about, like, can you pull over a vehicle and talk to a stranger about why they're speeding or whatever? Because those are the things that we train you to do, right? And so that falls back to the ability to follow directions. Right. So if you have the ability to follow directions, when we tell you, hey, be honest, work with integrity, be courageous out there, bring your community one step closer to peace with everything that you do, then we can work with that. You know, we can work with those raw ingredients. And then the rest, like I said, we send you to our academy and we give them to you. And the reason I know that is I was one of those people. You know, before I became a cop, I didn't have some gun collection and you know, I was not proficient with a firearm. You know, still don't really like guns, but because of what the CHP has given me, I'm pretty proficient with them now, right? Same thing with talking to people or pulling people over or arresting people. Man, before I was a CHP officer, when conflict arose, I was not ashamed to turn the other cheek and walk the opposite way. And now, because of what I do, you know, in my career, I go towards conflict. But armed with the training that the CHP has given me.
Right, you have some tools.
Got some tools. I'm still the same person, right? I still like helping people. I still, you know, apparently have the ability to follow directions. I'm still here 20 years later.
Memory's fading, though.
Memory's fading. Yeah. What is that third thing? It's going to come to me as I'm driving away, sipping my coffee. But
now, is the profile for going up the organizational chart similar?
Common sense. Different? That was the third one.
Oh, good.
I better say it while I have it. Common sense. Oh, my God. Common sense.
Is the profile of a sergeant an Uber cop, or is it a different skill set that may not have been tapped into as a frontline officer?
Yeah. And so, obviously, I'm not a sergeant yet. But
you know them. You've been around them.
Yeah, I've been around them. And, you know, here's a bit of an ironic thing. I've known some officers that were you know, I wouldn't consider them top-notch officers. You know, they were a bit lazy or, you know, didn't want to work. They would never volunteer to cover somebody's shift or work late. But my word, they were really, really good sergeants. But also vice versa. I've known some officers that were phenomenal. I mean, just great intuition, great ability to deal with, you know, like people who've just done horrible things, you know, like committed murder and rape and things, and just an ability to not identify but to engage with those people. But when they kind of turned the page and became sergeant, they were, man, they
it
were.
Was, it
they,
was the Peter principle.
They were a menace, yeah.
Full effect, yeah. Yeah, it's you only know when you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's tough because once you make that transition, and maybe it's not all it was cracked up to be.
Yeah, and I think that
going backwards is really tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like to answer your question, I think it does say that there is a different skill set or a different, I guess, trajectory with being being a manager, a sergeant, versus being an officer. And some people have the ability to make that transition pretty well because maybe their skill set is broad based, or that, you know, there again they fall back to training. They're getting a new set of training. Right, because they're not pulling vehicles over or, you know, writing DUI reports anymore. They're the ones who are reviewing these things and giving input on how to do things better.
Do they have sergeant school?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so you're able to refer. I've always been curious about laterals or somebody who is a good manager of people.
Hmm.
But maybe they're at the paper factory. Right?
Yeah.
But they're dealing with a bunch of people, a bunch of budgets, a bunch of stuff,
mm-hmm.
okay, and holding people accountable, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Why not pluck them and bring them in as a people person? You know, they may not know cop, but they could go to sergeant school or maybe they go through the academy and they get the basic gist. Will they have been on the street? No. Yeah, I think of the sports analogies, right? Most good baseball managers were really as far as baseball players.
Oh, right.
Okay. They knew the effort that it took to get to the point, and they were sympathetic rather than somebody like Ted Williams who said, see the ball, hit the ball. Why can't you do that,
Why can't
son?
You do that? Yeah.
And that was his training, and his ability skill set was so far advanced.
Hmm.
Same thing I would think with law enforcement and with every career.
You know, right,
they
right.
talk about that you don't want to necessarily go up, because what you bring to the table may not take you where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to find your calling. It's important to find your calling.
And know where your phone is so that you can. Common sense, jeez. KINS News and Information Time is 8:43.
Oh,
the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with, I was going to say wannabe, but I won't, Victor Aguilar. Wannabe Cajun.
like Cajun food.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent. After a while, it hurts too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, too much Tabasco can kill anything. When you look at different opportunities, different people that you see, how intuitive is it for you? I mean, if I'm sitting across the counter and we're just talking, mm-hmm. and not even talking about a potential employee in the department,
mm-hmm.
you know, God, maybe this guy has what it takes, or glad he didn't apply. Great guy,
right?
Wouldn't cut it.
Yeah.
Do you play that game kind of as practice rounds so that when you are in that situation, it's kind of like target practice on the pistol range?
Right, yeah.
Same thing, you know, with this person, listen for the words, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Is that how you keep yourself sharp?
Yeah, and there is a lot of that goes on. Obviously, it's, you know, a bit subversive. It's not like we just...
Well, not being nasty, but, you know, if you're talking to somebody who's 45 and not going to go through the academy.
Right.
But just as, you know, would this 20 years ago would this person have been somebody who could have or not?
So what I did is just me personally. So we have a local applicant preparation program, and I encourage all the applicants to attend my seminars, my workouts, all these things that we do, and I engage with them. And if I get the sense that somebody might be in this for the wrong reasons, or they're the type of person that might, you know, the discretionary authority might go to their heads, I'll put them through some tests, you know, or I may specifically talk
casual stuff.
Casual stuff, not like accusing, because most of these people are just decent, normal people. But sometimes you recognize that this may not be the correct pathway for them as far as a career goes. And so you give them the opportunity to kind of self-evaluate that, and, you know, through the stories I share or when I talk about this type of values or characteristics that we're looking specifically for, and not just what we're looking for, but why it's important to.
Sure. The reason.
Exactly. And so I'll use, you know, my 20 years of experience to throw out an example or a story or, you know, some type of a learning tool so that they can kind of do that on their own.
And a little reflection. And
if it still doesn't come, then, you know, then I'll open it up a little bit more and maybe start a one-on-one dialogue.
Hey, you. I'm talking to you.
You're not getting it, are you? But, you know, there's also, like I was at Ace Hardware here locally. One of the guys, you know, they have the people that help you with the wood over there and load it up. And I've dealt with probably 5 different people over there, and they've all been super, super nice, doing their job very well. But there's one guy in particular
steps out
that goes above and beyond, and he calls me sir. He doesn't know I'm a cop, right? So he's not calling me sir for that reason. And just he's got those raw ingredients. And I've told myself next time I see him, I'm going to talk to him about his career choices, because he's shown me those raw materials. Not that the other people haven't. It's just that this guy, there's something different and special about him.
Uniqueness.
Exactly.
And I would think that that's probably in your profile. I mean, it really is a unique position. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a regular guy position. It's a unique position.
Because we do abnormal things on this job. You know, it's not normal to go to work with a gun strapped to your hip, right? Or discretionary authority with the statewide. That's not normal. It's not normal to deal with somebody who's just done the worst thing they've ever done in their life, and now you have to talk to them and get them to tell you the details about what they just did. That's not normal, right? So it does take, I would say, somebody that's either very susceptible to the training we offer, or a combination of that and also some raw materials, you know, the ability to just deal with human beings very well without offending them or appearing to judge them, or, you know, any number of things that will counteract what you're trying to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't need to kneecap yourself.
Yeah.
There's too many others looking for that opportunity.
There's enough people out there that would say, I would just shoot him. You know, I see these comments sometimes on social media, and you think, that's probably why you're never going to be an officer, is because that type of mind frame. Send them all to jail. You know, no, that's not, that's not what we do.
No, they'd be turned out and turned back anyway, the way things are going. Got a totally unrelated question for you.
Yeah.
When you guys are driving and the lights are going and the sirens are going, why don't you go deaf? Is it noisy inside the rig, or is it soundproof?
It's not as noisy inside.
Okay.
And it's not as flashy inside, yeah.
Well, yeah, otherwise you'd be driving off the road because you'd be blind.
Yeah. Right. No, it really isn't as bad. And you're multitasking to such a high level that you just make it work.
Your focus is, common sense.
Common sense.
See everybody tomorrow.